I'm so glad to be here this morning, and this is a special time for me to get to see the church that's connected with the teams that you guys have sent down. And man, we have really enjoyed those that have come down to work with us, and we made sure that they worked as well. And those that came on the trip, they understand what it is. I noticed that I was in Minnesota when I saw all the coats hanging up out in the lobby there. You know, and I'm not taking mine off because I've been cold ever since I come to the United States because we're used to the tropical weather. This church right here in Grand Rapids is one of the churches that, although you may not speak any of these languages, you may not know a whole lot about the culture of them, but you're impacting the world through your missions giving and through praying for missionaries and through having an open heart to be willing to go. And I am so grateful as a missionary in El Salvador, my wife as well, that you guys would be willing to give, that you'd be willing to go, that you'd be willing to work and make a difference. And I'm coming here today to give you like an investor's report. For those that have seen, you know, here in the last couple of weeks, the stock market's like tanked and everything's going down and people are worried about tariffs and everything. You know what? In El Salvador, it's good news. Proverbs 25:25 says, good news from a distant land is like a cool drink of water. And I have good news from El Salvador. Yes, there's stuff going on. Yeah, they're shipping prisoners down there to be in our jails and that type of thing. But you know what? Whatever problems there are, God has given us opportunity. And I want to share some of that with you this morning. Most of you don't know who I am. My wife and I are missionaries in El Salvador. I've been there for 15 years. I love the country. I love the language. I love the culture. And I love the food. If you've never had a pupusa, you're missing out on what's next. It's like manna from heaven. So that's in my opinion anyway. But you need to, I doubt there's probably one in Grand Rapids, but maybe down in Minneapolis you'd find pupusas. But I love the country. I love the people. And I'm looking forward because Tuesday I get to go back and be with my wife and be with our congregation. We pastor the Open Door Church. When I went to El Salvador 15 years ago, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know who I was going to work with. And it sounds like a lack of planning because in the United States, we like to have like 6-month plan, 1-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, everything sort of planned out. But when we plan our lives out, you know what? We take our lives out of the hand of God. When we decide what our future is, then we don't leave him the space to do what he wants to do with us. And I'm really glad that God didn't show me all of the stuff up front because I might not have gone. I might not have wanted to do, you know, what we're doing. But God took me to do things that I was not able to do. And in a moment, I'll show you a video and everything that you see there, I'm not capable of doing, but God is. But God uses us. God called me as a boy, age 9, in a church. And I was back in the room praying here before service with the pastor and the team. And there's an old upright wooden piano. Maybe that's, you know, from the history here of the church. But when I was a boy 9, I went up in front and I sort of hid myself over behind that old upright piano that was there in the front of the church. And I prayed to God and I raised my hand and I said, I'll go, I'll be, I'll say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Never thinking that one day that might lead me to El Salvador, or I've also served in Panama as well as a missionary. Not knowing what God would do with my life. But 15 years ago when I went to El Salvador, God led me to open the Open Door Church, and we've used that church as a basis to reach out to the community. Through the church, we have a clinic. At the clinic, we have a dentist, we have a doctor, we have a laboratory that does all the blood tests and everything, and we help out the community. We're the only clinic around, and just 3 weeks ago, we had an outreach for all the elderly in the area that they could come receive free medical care. This is part of what we do. We also have the Center of Hope. At the Center of Hope, we teach gourmet cooking, dessert making, and bread making. That all sounds really good, doesn't it? And I get to be the judge for that. Praise the Lord that I inherited my dad's genes, you know, and I don't get overweight or whatever, but I really like that. We also teach professional sewing, English, music, Taekwondo, and soccer. And that Taekwondo and soccer, that doesn't sound a whole lot like missions to me. But it is because we have those young people in our church and we have them learning and receiving biblical values. Just 3 weeks ago, right before I left, the whole back section of our church on this side was filled with all the soccer school participants, and they came there to be part of that. The Lord has blessed us. We have four people just 2 weeks ago that testified and said, want to let you know, out of the baking and the gourmet cooking business, and two out of the professional sewing class have been able to start their own micro business out of their home, bringing income into their family, and it makes such a big difference to be able to teach them a job skill. Also at the church, we have what we call a community kitchen, and we feed people four times a week before service. They're able to come in, sort of like the donuts and coffee out here, but a little bit more substantial, and people can come and eat. And we have a public school right next door. They come like at 5 to 5:30, and they come through, and all the kids eat, and many of them stay for service, or they go on home or take the food home. And this allows us to bless the community. We also have the open door, we have the Hosanna School, and the Hosanna School is my happy place. I love to go to the school. We have 398 students, kinder 4 through high school, and if they pay $4 a month to go to school. We provide breakfast, lunch. We help them with uniforms, shoes, backpacks. We have Christian teachers. We have chapel. We teach them Bible verses. They learn a new Bible verse every week. What does that mean? That means that they have more Bible verses memorized than most of you do. And so that's an interesting thing. And you know what? The Bible says that the Word of God never returns void. Whenever you teach it to somebody, it's going to come back. It's going to bring a harvest. And I'm going to ask for my water right there, Pastor Jason. Sorry about that. I'm sure it's not Minnesota or anything. Yeah. But God's been so good to us at the school. One of the little boys that goes to our school, his name is Angel. Angel, we met him a couple of years ago when we went out and built a house. It might have been when you guys were with us 2 years ago. But he was a young man working on the house, and I could see that he was watching me. He wanted to measure with a tape. He wanted to hammer with the nails. So I asked him, Angel, would you like to go to our school? And he said, yes, I would. And he went to tell his mom, and his mom was like looking at me like that, because she's a single mom, and I knew that she didn't have much income. And I could tell the question on her mind was, how much is it going to cost me? And I said, you know what? Eunice and I will sponsor Angel to go to school. And so he started going to school. Within 2 or 3 months, he had risen to the top of his class. This is a boy that could hardly read and write, but I mean, he just flourished there at the school. And then he started going to Taekwondo class as well. The next year, his sister, last year, started at school, Fernanda. She couldn't read or write either, and now she's learning, she's flourishing, and now their younger sister, Kimberly, just started this year. And we're saving three children that might not have ever really had the opportunity to learn and to learn about Jesus Christ as well, that are in the school. God doesn't save in bundles or at Costco or Sam's Club. God saves one by one. And he loves people individually as well. And so God has really used the school. Last year, we graduated 34 students from a high school class. Out of the 34, 30 went on to the university this year. Out of those 30 that went on to the university, only 2 had family members that had previously gone to college or gone to the university. So we're changing the whole generation. We're changing the whole direction of families. And if somebody has a job, if somebody has a university education, if somebody has opportunity, more than likely they're not going to try to immigrate here and going through the dangers to come up here illegally to the United States. And so we're providing those opportunities. And it's also all with a Christian basis and a foundation. We also build homes for the poor. You're going to see this in the video. Just a little over 2 weeks ago, we built 3 homes. Lance was down there, who you guys came with 2 years ago. And my wife, who didn't come with me on the trip, a home burnt down in the area. And so she led a team out just 2 weeks ago to build a new home as well for another family that had a great need. So we're so grateful for those opportunities. When we build a home, the home is not huge like here. It's just a 10-foot by 20-foot. Some people would use it to store the lawnmower and garden tools and stuff like that. But for people living in a tin shack or with a dirt floor or under black plastic, It's like a mansion to them, and they're so grateful, and we have the chance to minister to them. We also have a rehabilitation center for gang members, and it's not for drug addicts or for alcoholics. It's specifically for gang members. We have 16 young men that are in their home. The government sends them to us through the justice system, and they sent me a picture this Friday night in service. One of those young men accepted Christ. They all come to there without having come from a Christian background necessarily, and our goal is to bring them to Christ. We have a chapel every day. We have discipleship through Teen Challenge that they take. We help them with their education. We teach them job skills. We have a tilapia farm. We have an egg farm. I know you guys are paying way too much for eggs up here, and I would have brought a suitcase, you know, full to sell to you, but this couldn't do that. But God is really blessed. We have a bakery that's up and running, and God is using the bakery to help us keep the cost down at our center. But more than anything, we're transforming lives. Do you think God can transform a gang member? Yes. Sure he can. You know why? Because he transformed us. There's no level up here, there, up or lower in what God can do with our lives. And he's been so good to us there at that center. We've had from the U.S. Embassy come out. They donated a pickup and a van because they really liked our project. The British ambassador has come out. The people from the European Union, the Salvadoran government has come out. And they're all saying, how can you do this? They say, it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the power of God. That's who changes lives. I can't change anybody, but God can. And we really appreciate your prayers that God would continue to use us. In the last 3 years, the president of El Salvador has put 85,000 people in prison to crack down on the gangs, and they controlled basically 98% of the country at one point. And it really has worked. Our country's breathing again. There's people out at night. People would be in their house. The doors would be closed. God has been so good to our country. At the same time, we've gone from being the number one country as far as violence in the world to being the number one country to have the most people in prison in the world per capita. But that's also given opportunity. When they start putting people in prison, because we had worked in the youth prisons, one of the prison officials who I know had called me. He said, Pastor Kenton, would you guys be willing to go to the prisons to minister? I said, yes, we will. Didn't have a team, didn't have a plan or anything, but I knew that was God opening a door. And so we started ministering to 500 ladies that were in the women's prison. Then it was bumped up to 1,200, and then it went to 2,500, and then went up to 5,000. Now it's up to 12,800 women in a space for 4,000 people. And we're visiting three prisons a week. And since the beginning of the year, since January, we've had over 300 people accept Jesus Christ in the prisons. God has used that and to go out and to speak to them, to pray, to preach to them, and more than that, to love them. And whenever we go, I always say to the people, you know what? If you have needs, we're there to help you whenever you get out. And it's been several weeks back that I drove up to church early, an hour early, and I got out of my pickup, and there's somebody waiting on me. And it was a man, and I didn't recognize him. And I said, can I help you? And he said, yeah, my name's Ephraim, and I came from the jail. Okay. When you were in jail, he said, you told us that if we needed anything when we got out, that we could come to the church, and you'd help us. I said, I sure did. What do you need? Everything. I said, well, what does everything mean? And he said, well, I have a place to stay. I'm staying with my dad, but I don't have any money. I don't have any clothes. This is the clothes that I had in prison. I don't have any food, and I don't have a job. And the office was right there, and I was thinking I could go in and I get some money out of the church safe, and I can give him some money. And I thought, you know what? I need to give him the money. So I took money out of my wallet and gave him, this is for today and for tomorrow. And we'll give you food at the end of the service. We gave him rice and beans to take home to cook. If you come tomorrow, we'll have clothes and shoes for you, and we'll have a job for you this week. We were able to help him in all of that. And this has been our experience again and again as people have come, that we're able to be a means of transitioning them back into society. And we ask that you pray for us, that God will continue to use us, especially in the prisons, especially also helping the families who have family members in prison. We have a number of children and youth in our church that their moms are in prison, their dads are in prison, they're living with grandma, they're living with their aunt, and God uses us to minister to them and to help them. And we feel like this has been one of the reasons that we're there. And so we're so grateful for your support. We're grateful for those that stand with us in prayer as well. If you're interested, after the service, have a prayer card. You can take that and we always say you can put it in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you visit the most, and pray that God will use us, okay, in El Salvador. I want to show you a video. Everything that you see on the video, you guys have a part in it, because through your giving, you're ministering in all these different areas. So here we go. School that we did in the month of February. Thank you as a church. Thank you for being involved. Just three Sundays ago, right before I left, we had an outreach for special needs children. It's called Champions Club. And we do that every 2 or 3 months. And we have all the special needs children from the area that come in, be in a wheelchair, or those that are developmentally disabled, whatever the case may be. We bless them with food. We have games. We have a service for them. We love on their parents as well. It's just looking for a need and reaching out and trying to meet that need. And how do we do that? Well, it's all based on love. And if I say there's a secret ingredient, that's it. Why? Because, you know what? I'm probably not the best preacher, which you'll probably find out this morning. I may not be the best missionary, the best carpenter either, but I can be the best at loving. And God calls all of us to love. And you know what? Loving these children, loving the gang members, loving those that no one else wants to love, that's what God has called us to do. And I don't know about how many of you have habits. I saw some of you out there at the coffee bar this morning. I know you got a habit, okay? So, and it's not one that needs intervention yet, but okay? But God wants us to have good habits. I was raised in a wonderful home, and my parents taught me habits. They taught me to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, when addressed. They taught me to make my bed in the morning. And there's a Marine general that wrote a whole book on making your bed in the morning, and it'll make your whole life better. And he probably made millions off the book. But my parents taught me to stand up when somebody older comes into the room. And those are things that I learned. I also have bad habits, and all of us do. No one wants to raise their hand to say that, but I bite my fingernails, for instance. And anybody else here can identify with that? Yeah, there they are. Okay. My parents would put my fingers down in vinegar or in chili sauce or whatever, and I'd just lick it off and keep going. Stuck with me all my life. It's one of those habits that's hard to get rid of. One of the habits I have when I'm at home, I love to get up in the morning, take my shower, go put on the coffee pot with Salvadoran coffee, and then spend time on my knees and read the Word of God. That's a habit for me. And it's a habit that motivates my life. But God wants us to have another habit, and that's a habit of loving. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "And now I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So it's not that we carry a big Bible around. It's not on our t-shirt that it says G-R-A-O-G or the Open Door Church. That's not how people identify that we're Christians. It's not based on a culture that we come from or anything. It says right here, people are going to know that we're Christians by our love. My question for you this morning, if it's based on your love, do others see Christ in you? Do they see that you're a Christian? That's what I want to happen in my life. I want somebody to see love, but not just see it. I want them to experience that love. And so that's why much of what we do is reaching out in love, is trying to help others, is trying to reach out to them and make a difference. And we think of love many times as romantic, love as a dozen roses, love as going out to eat. That's affection. But love is sacrifice. Love is going the second mile. Love is doing things that no one else wants to do. Love is helping somebody when they don't even know it's you that's helping them. That's true love, and God's called us to do that. And he's called us to be Christians, true Christians that reach out. How do we love each other? I want to share with you this morning. Number one, we can love one another by lifting up the brokenhearted, by helping those that are down, by helping those that are in need. We have a family of kids that are in our church, and there's eight of them, and it's Nicole, Tatiana, Paola, Daniela, Alex, Raquelita, I always call her Raquelita La Bonita, which means little beautiful Raquel, and then we have Isaías, and we have Nehemias, and one of the other ESs that I don't remember. And so all of these kids come to our church, and they first came to our program, our feeding program. And in El Salvador, a lot of people will eat with their fingers, and that's very common. But these kids were eating with their hands, and they're grabbing the food and just stuffing it in their mouth and asked for seconds and thirds. And we could see that they had a great need. I asked the person who brought them, who's a teacher in a local school, and she said, "They're my neighbors, and I can see that they have need there. Their moms are in prison. Their dads, we don't know where they're at, and they're living with grandma, and she can't make enough money to feed all these kids." So we adopted them, not as our own kids, but from the church, that we're going to help them, and we're going to love on them. And you know what? That was hard to do. They were tremendous. They were, when I say tremendous, they would want to go, you know, they come and sit on the front row with my wife and I, want to go out to the bathroom like 10 or 15 times, get a drink of water, all those kind of things. And they had never really been in church before and were singing. They're looking up and looking all around and distracted and everything. And I'd say to them, "Daniela, I love you." Or, "Alex, I love you." They wouldn't even respond, because they had never experienced love. They had never experienced the expression of love they had never experienced somebody actually reaching out to them that loved them for who they are and saw them as they could be. Over the space of the last 2 years, God's done wonderful things in their heart. Several months ago, I was able to baptize Nicole as she made a commitment of faith. But these children now, whenever you come up to the church, they'll come running and to give a hug and to say, Daniela, I love you. I love you too, Pastor. And that love makes a difference. It shaves the rough things off of people and helps them. God's called you to reach out to the people that are around you. Who is it? Usually it's the people that are out on the edge. It may not be the people that are so near to you, but it's people that God wants you to touch, and he wants you to love them. How do you love them? By lifting them up, by encouraging them, by praying for them, by helping them, by reaching out to them. When I was raised in church, and we used to sing an old song years ago, to be God's hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed, let me touch Jesus so that others will know and be blessed. God wants us to touch him. He wants us to be full of him, but he also wants us to be reaching out at the same time. God's called each and every one of us to love. God's called each and every one of us to make a difference in the lives of others. There's so many people that we've helped with houses. We built nearly 700 houses over the space of the last 15 years for people. We've reached out with food. We've reached out with shoes. We had a Super Shoe Saturday, and we brought there's 1,258 people that came in to receive new pairs of shoes and prayed over all of them. And those are the ways that we reach out to people. But God wants us to do it on an individual level as well. How can I do that? Look for somebody with needs. When I go to the bank in the center of town, there was a man there, an elderly man, and he would kneel right there, and he would hold out a sombrero, his hat, and he was just asking for money. He wasn't really asking, hey, can you give me money, but he's just holding his hat. And I've learned a long time ago to give. If I have the opportunity to give, give. So I put a dollar in his hat, And I started to walk on, and I just said, hey, bless you, and put the dollar in, started to walk on. He said, just a minute. I thought, maybe he wants more. Maybe he wants $5, because I'm a gringo. You know, he probably thinks I can afford it. So I came back, and I said, yes, sir. And he said, God bless you. God bless you as you go in. God bless you as you go out. God bless your family, and God bless your church as well, Pastor. I didn't even know he knew me. But I wanted to give him another $5 right there just for the blessing he had given me. And I want to tell you that when you reach out and you love other people by helping those that are in need, God has a blessing for you. That's not the reason we do it. That's just part of the byproduct of it. The second thing I want to mention, we love by being generous. Are you talking about money? No, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about appreciating everything that God has given us so much that we're willing to be generous with others. Generous with our time, generous with our talents, generous with our giftings, like those that are going to help the single moms with your mechanical skills. That's generosity. And God has called us to reach out to others and to give of ourselves. And you know what people want today? They want time. It's much easier to pay $10 than to have to spend 10 minutes listening to somebody. But people need time, and they want time from us. And that's what God has called us to give others, to give of ourselves, to give of our talents, to give of our intelligence, to give of the spirituality that we receive here in the church as well. Because you come here once a week, twice a week, maybe three times a week, and you receive, and God's called you to give what you receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. God's called you to be generous. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about generosity. And it mentions generosity 7 times in the space of 3 or 4 verses. Whenever God mentions things several times like that in a row in the Bible, saying, hey, wake up, pay attention, this is important for you. God wants you to be generous. He wants you to give. One of the things that has been difficult for us at times is being generous whenever you don't see anything coming back. God wants us to give without expecting anything in return. God wants us to give without anyone knowing what we're doing, without the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing. God's called you to love by being generous. The third thing that I want to mention, how God asks us to love, is by forgiving. In Proverbs 17:9, it says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Forgiving's not easy. Immediately, you can think of somebody that's done something wrong to you. Comes back really easy. Almost 8 years ago, my brother-in-law was killed by gang members. He was not a gang member. He's a deacon in the church, leader of Royal Rangers, which is a boys group in church. I don't know if you have it here, but a good man. He just witnessed something that had gone wrong, and they shot him 5 times in the back. Didn't even take the money out of his pants pocket. Left 2 beautiful children and a mourning wife. And we were just getting started ministering in the youth prisons. And the prison that we were ministering in was the same gang that had killed my brother-in-law. And my wife and I had to go in there and love those young men and forgive those young men. But we were able to do it. Because when love prospers when a fault is forgiven. One of those same gang members that came out of the prison came to our Living Free Center. One of the judges came to visit, and she said, I want to talk to all of them individually to see how you guys are treating them. She was not a Christian. So she asked them one by one how they felt. She got to Andy, who had been in the prison there. I remember him when we were there. And she said, Andy, how are these guys treating you? And he said, see those pastors right there? They love me. When somebody can say that about you, see that person right there? They love me. In spite of whatever we've done, in spite of whatever's happened, there's love there. God desires for us to love by forgiving. And you can say, well, you know what? You don't know what they've done to me. They've called me this. Maybe you were abused sexually. Maybe you were abused physically. Maybe you were a person that was told it would have been better if you had never been born. But yet God's called us to love anyway. In fact, he says, before you do anything, before you come and pray, before you ask me anything, if you know that someone has something against you, go and ask them for forgiveness first. Wow, that's difficult. A year and a half ago, my mom passed away. And as a missionary, I couldn't be back as nearly as much as I wanted to see her. And I have 3 brothers and one that lived there with her on the farm and 2 others that are in other states. But I got back as much as I could. I'd call her every day. And in the last year, she had to go into an assisted living center. And she didn't want to be there. And she begged to get out. And I couldn't do anything unless I left everything in El Salvador to come back. But I had a brother that was there. And he drove by that assisted living center on his way to work, on his way home from work. Every single day. And never would stop. Maybe once every 2 weeks, once a week, just to say hi. And after she passed away, and we went through all the stuff and had the memorial service, you know what? There was resentment in my heart towards my brother because I felt he should have done better by my mom. We had a wonderful mom. And last September, a year after she had passed away, I was on my way to the airport there in El Salvador to pick somebody up. The Lord spoke to me. He said, call your brother and ask him for forgiveness. I said, come on, God. He ought to be calling me and telling me he's sorry. I'm the one that's offended here. Don't you see what happened? God's message didn't change. Call your brother and ask him for forgiveness. So I did the second best thing. I turned on Christian music on the radio. Didn't work very well. So after about an hour negotiating with God, I don't know if you ever tried to negotiate with God or not. He always wins. I called my brother. A little small talk. And then I said, I just want to ask you to forgive me for anything I've said, anything I've done, or thought that would have hurt you or your family. Please. And he forgave me. Did he ask me for forgiveness? No, he didn't. Has he done that? No, he didn't. But that's not the reason that God asked me to do that. God wanted me to clean my plate. We don't have to clean the plate of others. We have to clean our plate. And that's how we do it, by loving. And I want to encourage you to love by lifting up the brokenhearted, those that are downtrodden, those that are out on the edge, those that no one else wants to help. There in El Salvador, we've had a number of outreaches for the prostitutes in our city. We've done a Mother's Day outreach, a Christmas outreach, health, medical outreach for them. They couldn't believe that someone from the church would reach out to them, but God's called us to do that. God also wants you to love others by being generous. Giving of yourselves. Give out of your resources. Don't just call the church and say, hey, I saw somebody with need over there. Can the church help them? You start it. You be part of that. You reach out your hand first, and then others will come alongside of you, hopefully, to help you meet the need by being generous. But God also wants you to love by forgiving and offering forgiveness. If somebody's done you wrong, just remember that you did Christ wrong as well. We're forgiven at the same level that we forgive others. And may God love through you. Would you bow your heads for a minute? Could be that there's somebody here this morning that you need forgiveness from Jesus. Maybe you feel like you're a long way from him. I just tell you this morning, you're not. God's so close to you, and he has his arms outstretched. And he says, welcome home. Come to me. I'll forgive you for everything you've done, and I love you. And if we're to love others, we have to realize that God loves us first. Is there anybody here that would raise your hand today and you'd say, right where you're at, would you pray for me? I need forgiveness this morning. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. 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 Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. You know what we're going to do is we're going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I recognize what I am. A sinner. And I need you. And I ask you to come into my heart. Clean my plate. Make me different. You're the Son of God. The only one that paid the price for my sin. And I receive you right now. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you now are in my heart. And I belong to you. Amen. Those that raise their hand, I really encourage you to connect with the pastor, one of the pastors here at the church, and let them know what you've done so that they can pray for you and just support you in this. I want to do one more prayer. some of us struggle with forgiveness. Maybe that's you today. Somebody's done something to you, and there's a seed of bitterness, or there's something in your heart, and it's really hard for you to forget. God wants you to let that go. If we can let go of the death of my brother-in-law, if I can allow God to speak to my heart about my own brother, God can also do the same thing in you. If that's you this morning, you're just struggling with forgiveness or forgiving others, or maybe you need forgiveness from others and they haven't ever given that to you, I want to pray for you right now. You know who you are. You can just put your hand over your heart if that's you right now, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those that are struggling for forgiveness right now. God, I know that this message was for them this morning as well. And I pray right now, Jesus, that you speak into their hearts. Show them, God, how much you love them. And that love takes us to forgive others. I pray, God, that there's an opportunity for somebody to ask for forgiveness. God, that you bring that this week or this month, Lord, an opportunity just to make things right and correct it. Clean our plates. That's what we're responsible for. Lord God, I just pray if there's been something done and now the person's gone or the person's dead or whatever, moved on, Lord, that these people will understand that they can ask you, Lord God, to cleanse that out of their heart, to take that out, and to put forgiveness within. We thank you for God. Thank you for that. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son for us to die on the cross of Calvary, that we'd be different. And may people know us by our love, Lord Jesus, we pray in your precious name. Amen. God bless you. So nice to be with you. Look forward to connecting with you at the missions luncheon if you're staying. And love to talk to you.
And we're going to do one more thing here. What we're going to do is we're going to ask our ushers to come forward. We are going to take an offering for the Moody's this morning. Everything that comes in at this point in time goes to them. So you can write a check. If you write a check, write it to GRAOG. We will cut one check to them as a whole. If you are like me and you don't carry cash or a check, jump back online, GRAOG.com. Under the special offerings tab there on the online giving, you can give that way. And everything that comes in on that today will go to Moody Missions. This is not a general offering. This is for everything that comes in right now is going to be going to Kenton and Eunice into their missions account. And so we just want to encourage you to do that if you can. As the bags go by, if you give or you don't give, I'm going to ask Kenton to come back up here real quick if you would and just stand right here in the middle. If you would like to pray with us over Kenton, we can all pray, right? If you don't have anything to give this morning financially, you can give your prayers. And so we just want to encourage you this morning to partner that way. Come up, surround him, put a hand on him if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, that's okay. You can pray from your seat or you can just watch this part. But we're going to go ahead and take this offering and then we're going to pray for Kenton before we go and eat lunch, okay? So Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the privilege to be able to hear your word from Kenton's heart. And I just pray this morning, God, that you just put your hand on him and on Eunice, God, as they continue to work for you all over in El Salvador. And we're just so grateful to be able to partner with him. God, we just thank you for this opportunity to pray and to give in your name. Amen. So we're going to have them go ahead and hand out those baskets. Like I said, as those go by, if you feel comfortable, I want to encourage you to come up and pray. Once this is done, we're going to go back and we're going to eat. Everybody can come and stay and have lunch with us. We are excited to be able to do that this morning, and we want to be able to just chill and eat and have a good meal. But we want to encourage you to come pray as those things go by. If you are struggling with the online giving, it is probably how many of you are hitting it at once right now. Just give it a minute, and it will catch up. That is the bank. I can't fix that, but you can keep trying. That is AG Financial down there, or Tithely now, I guess we use. So we want to just encourage you to keep looking if it didn't come up right away.